This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 19, 2020. The Sixth Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Hear the voice of my supplication as I cry to thee for help. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hear the voice of my supplication as I cry to thee for help, the psalmist asking our Lord to hear what he is asking, and then giving him thanks for answering that prayer. Those words are from Psalm number 28. It is the first psalm that was spoken today at the beginning of Mass. We have to understand that the psalms, as I have been pointing out the past liturgical year, are model prayers for us. And this psalmist is giving God praise for answering his prayer and for asking him to hear the prayer that he offers to him. We only get to hear certain verses of psalms in the liturgy. But I always say, and this is why I'm doing the psalms this year, is to understand that these prayers that have given us are much more than the verse or two that we hear. For instance, the psalmist says, "Hear my supplication, the thing I ask. I cry to thee for help." That cry to help is it's nine verses, Psalm 28. A third of that psalm, the middle three verses, are, "Take me not off with the wicked, with those who work evil, who speak peace with their tongues while mischief is in their hearts. Repay them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Repay them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands. He will break them down and build them up no more." The word of the Lord. This is called an imprecation. I had a lot of people between Masses. How do you spell it? I-M-P-R-E-C-C-A-T-O-R-Y. Imprecatory psalm. They ask for God's justice to be done. We don't hear them, unfortunately, in their entire context. And it is unfortunate because we live in a day where we've got problems. You know, I think most of us would understand that that is a gross understatement, that we have problems in the church, that we have problems in our society. Again, understatement. What do you do about it? Well, the second reading today says in Romans, St. Paul's, we don't know how to pray. This is true. We don't know how to pray. We can't formulate good prayers that our Lord wants. So you know what he did? He gave us some prayers. They're called the Psalms. They're prayers. He gave us these prayers to, guess what? Be prayed. Not to reach a certain point in history and stop thinking about many of them. These are the imprecatory Psalms. They are Psalms that call for God's justice to be done here and now, where we live. It's not wrong to do that. You will read a lot of, if you go home and you Google this, you'll see a lot of comments that it's really difficult to reconcile the imprecatory prayers with the gospel. No, it's not, because our Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel, and he tells his disciples on the road to Emmaus in his resurrected appearance that they need to pay attention to all that the prophets have said. That they need to pay attention to all the scriptures teach of him. And guess what? Imprecatory psalms are words of the prophets. They teach of our Lord Jesus Christ in the context of his justice and his judgment. We have to appreciate that. Well, don't pick out a psalm or two that says some words like that. If you Google imprecatory psalms, you will find that there are 21 imprecatory psalms. There are 150 psalms. That is 14% of the Psalter are prayers that call for God's judgment. on individuals and on peoples who are giving God's people problems. Thus saith the Lord. They are prayers given to us by the Holy Spirit. And it's not a matter of we can't reconcile them with the gospel. We have to reconcile our gospel presentation with God's word. Because what is the gospel? What is the gospel message? Everybody goes to heaven. No, they don't. No, they don't. The gospel message is that we are all born sinners, destined for hell, and that God wants to fix that by sending his son, Jesus Christ, and that we embrace him in faith and obedience, and it's a free offer. And so all you have to do is live your life according to his will, and you'll get to heaven. But if you don't, he continues to warn us, if you don't, there's going to be problems. And the imprecatory psalms are like the end of the day. They are about God's judgment that's going to happen. And when it happens is up to him, should be up to him. These psalms are the tools, the weapons, for lack of a better term, for us to use when we feel like we can do nothing over things we have no control. God has control over them. So guess what? We should appeal to him to bring forth his justice, that his justice may reign in this world. 21 psalms, 14% of the Psalter, 14% of the prayers that the Holy Spirit gives us are imprecatory in nature. What's really kind of interesting is the one, here I am, preaching on imprecatory prayers, and the psalm that I use is not even categorized as an imprecatory psalm. But those three verses right there call for God's justice, but not near as forcefully as the others. Thus saith the Lord. He wants us to use these. They are necessary because it gives us some kind of solace to pray these prayers when we really have, no control over things. Because again, our Lord Jesus Christ said to those apostles, that they actually uses the word, you're foolish because you did not believe all things that the prophets have spoken. These are the things that the prophets have spoken. You know, and do not come away from this, he's just doing on the Old Testament because that's what they did in the Old Testament. Guess what? Everything in the Old Testament points forward to the New. We've got to appreciate that about it. Well, the New Testament, we don't read things like that. Oh, we don't. You don't if you never hear it, but it's there nonetheless. These are prayers of cursing on people. And no, they're not. They're not psalms of cursing people. They're not psalms to ask God's revenge on people. You know, it is to ask that his justice be done. And when his justice is done, it's not only good for us, it's also good for those who may be the subjects of that justice. So when we pray these prayers, it's not for revenge. It's not that God curse people. It is just that his justice be done here and now. Like I said, this is an Old Testament stuff. 2 Thessalonians, talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus. Everybody wants Jesus to come back, right? Everybody wants Jesus to come back. What does it say about when Jesus comes back? That he's going to come back in the flame of fire, consuming those who don't believe the gospel of our Lord. I've never heard that. 2 Thessalonians, go home today and read it, okay? But before it says about, to set the stage about God, and this isn't just because it makes God mad, it's because it's comeuppance time. It's payback time for people who've been faithful. The word of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians, God deems it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, believers. The word of the Lord. Even on a personal level, St. Paul writing to Timothy. And it's kind of weird because at the end of 2 Timothy, St. Paul, you know, he's closing everything up. And it's just like comes out of nowhere. Paul's upset about somebody. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will requite him for his deeds. Well, why would the Holy Spirit put that in there? Because he wants to give us a dose of reality. That there are people in this world who do us wrong. And guess what we do? We don't go after that person. Paul doesn't say, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm and I'm going to hunt him down like a snake. Okay? He doesn't say that. He says, God will requite him for his deeds. So these are not psalms calling God's vengeance. Is it, hey, in your time, how you want to do it, I'm not going to go burn his house down because he did me wrong, but this is up to you. So it's New Testament stuff. It's not bad when you get upset with somebody for doing you wrong. And guess what? It's not even wrong to pray to God that he might do something about it. But it's not up to you to do something about it because we judge unrighteously. You know, because we're visceral. We're very emotional people. You know, man, if that person did that to me, all this, all that, let it God. Okay? Does he not say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? I like it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but he doesn't say for you not to ask for it. This is what God's word says. We just don't hear it anymore. And it can really give you a sense of foreboding when you really don't have control over anything. But to know that God is going to be the one that judges right and wrong, that he's going to be one that tempers justice, then we should feel really comfortable about praying these prayers. Revelation chapter 20, toward the end of the scriptures, that all are going to be judged by what they have done. You know, this whole judgment thing. That's where we are right now in the grand scheme of salvation history. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come as Savior. When he comes back, every time we pray a creed, what do we hear? Every time we hear the petition of the creed, both apostles and 19, that he will come again to judge both the living and the dead. We know it's going to happen. And the second to last verse in the Bible, the last verse is a blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The verse before that, come Lord Jesus. When Jesus Christ comes, what are we asking? Come Lord Jesus. Because when he comes back, 2 Thessalonians apply. Because that's how he's coming back. He's coming back in judgment. This is our faith. This is the gospel. So we should not shy away from praying the prayers that the Holy Spirit gave us as models when people do us wrong, whether individuals or groups of people. We've got to appreciate them because we don't know how we should pray. So when you're like, really? I get a whole lot of questions about a whole lot of different things going on now. And I'll tell you, I'm going to be a little transparent, okay? I pray these prayers. I pray these prayers about certain situations. I pray these prayers about certain people. And a lot of people, for instance, like, let's keep it in the church. Oh, this bishop, that bishop, pray Psalm 109, okay? Psalm 109, it's a long psalm. You would not believe. I've never heard that before. The Holy Spirit talks about the sinner's mother, all right? He actually says that. May his mother sins not be forgiven. Man, that's up in your face when the Holy Spirit's talking about your mom. The word of the Lord. Oh, these bishops and that, pray that prayer. It's, let his bishopric be taken from him. St. Peter used that for Judas Iscariot. Yeah, all the apostles were bishops, overseers of the church. And he did wrong. That's an understatement, right? And he uses Psalm 109 as the words that apply to him. Well, that's just applied to Judas. If it just applied to Judas, we wouldn't have it in Scripture for us. God will not have people betraying him, denying him, or those things that you will read in Psalm 109. And that's just one of the 21. Okay? But that's the biggie. All right? You know, there's no happy ending to it, aside from the fact that at the end of it, but us, and he's talking about the faithful person, we don't have to worry about your judgment. This is the word of the Lord. These are the prayers that we're supposed to, and I hope you leave this place, and I hope you look up the 21 imprecatory Psalms, and I hope you start praying them today. Because I want God to start doing something about what's going on in society in our church. Okay? We need to start asking Him to do it. Vengeance is His, but I pray that it starts soon. The gospel today. Oh, should we yank them up? Well, it's not up to us. He said, I will send my reapers to do that. We got to ask Him to do it. He will answer your prayers. Use them. Use the ones He gave. This is what we have to understand. These can actually be a benefit to even the sinner. Saint Jerome. I got an easiest job in the world. I just say what Scripture says, and I point to the saints. All right? Saint Jerome, speaking about this psalm, Psalm 28, particularly those verses that are imprecatory. Because they do not understand through blessing, they will understand through suffering. There are some things in life where people who don't know any better, you can talk to your blue in the face, tell them about God's grace, how they need to get back to Mass, how they need to start reading the Scriptures, how they need to avail themselves of the sacraments. They will blow you off completely. But guess what? When the rug gets pulled out from under some people, you know what? Sometimes they get worse. Sometimes it helps them. The best illustration for this that I've ever, for those of you who are visiting, I was a cop for 28 years. I was not working one day, and I was sitting in a mall with my family at the food court, sitting at a table, and this guy walks over to me, and I look up, and he goes, are you Deputy Holiday? I was like, you know, it's not like TV. Sometimes they just have you dead to rights, okay? I'm like, okay, what do? I like start freaking out right now, or do I just sit here and see how this is going to... I said, yeah. And he goes, you arrested me a couple years ago. I was like, yeah. He goes, man, that was the best thing that ever happened in my life. I was like, and the guy just starts telling me a story. Yeah, it was for domestic violence. I know you probably don't remember. I'm like, yeah. He goes, you know what? He goes, I actually squared it away with my wife. We're together still and all this. That was the best thing. I was like, you know, that when things like that happen, it lets you know. It gives you these examples that, you know, you can be a cop if you're goal-oriented. Get another line of work, okay? It just doesn't usually pan out. But every now and then, things like that happen. And to hear like it took somebody to jail and it squared them away. It's kind of unusual. But for that guy, what? If the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who comes to repentance, if God's justice has to fall on a bunch of people in just one change, so be it. But that's what it takes for some people. So you're not doing people wrong if you ask for God's justice to be done for them. Because like St. Jerome said, they will understand through suffering. Some. This is why the Holy Spirit gives us these things. It gives us all kinds of tools in the toolbox. You know, if invitations to Mass aren't working and everything, maybe a little dose of God's justice will. This is the reality of things. This is not the Pollyannish Catholicism that we hear. All right? This is the reality of things. There are bad people in this world, and some bad people just have to have a hard lesson. Most of us can think, I'm not so bad. Did I learn a hard lesson? Yeah. You know, sometimes lessons are good for us. We're just praying for God's lessons. We don't take it upon ourselves. It's not other people's vengeance. Because in verse 5 of that, during the that when that psalmist is saying, because he says, they don't understand. You know? The person who doesn't know God doesn't know how He works in this world. We do. The psalmist did. And we understand that the way He works is a lot of times in His justice. So we should not shy away for one moment from praying these prayers. But like I said, if you're going to start praying prayers, you kind of open it up, the vistas of your prayer life, start praying imprecatory psalms, focusing them, but letting God's will be done. This is, again, what we're supposed to do as God's people. Model prayers that He's given us. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.